This meeting is being recorded.
Okay. So this week, I'm sure to turn the audio on before we start so everyone can hear me, unlike last week. I apologize for that. Yes, as I just was mentioning, and I put in the email, this will be our last class until the fall. So I'm sorry for those who are hoping to go into June. Just this year with preparing for camp and other things, I have to stop a little earlier than usual. But we will. This will be our last class until for now, and God willing, we'll continue in the fall. So it's appropriate to end with another class about Shavuos. Shavuos is this coming Thursday night. And we spent last week focusing on the event of Maimon Har Sinai, the benefits and the messages of the Jews standing at Har Sinai and what they gained from the experience beyond the receiving of the Torah. That was our topic last week. And I want to continue with that from a little different angle this week. You can unmute those on Zoom and feel free to unmute if you have a question. There's a different aspect of Maimon Har Sinai, which is something very relevant to the fast pace of our modern lives. And we live such distracted lives. There's things happening all the time. The hustle and bustle of the world around us is constant. And it does take a toll on our ability to perceive God and to connect to spirituality, to connect to Emunah, to connect to faith in God. I want to try to bring that out a little bit based on the Har Sinai experience, what that means, and how we can focus on this over Shavuos. The Medrash tells us, this is a Medrash in Shmos Rabbah. So it discusses the Jews standing at Har Sinai, and it says the following. It says, Amar Bibo, Amar Yochanan. So Rabbi Bahu said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, when Hashem gave the Torah to the Jews, so it says, Sipor lo tzavach, the birds didn't chirp. Oflo porach, the birds didn't fly. Shor lo ga'a, the cows didn't, I guess, go moo. The cows didn't make noises. Ufanim lo afu, strafim lo amru, kadosh kadosh. Says even the angels didn't say their usual praises of God. They were silent. Hayam lo nizdaza, the ocean didn't move. Habrios adibru, nobody spoke. El olam shosik umachrish, the entire world went silent. V'yatza hakol anokhi shemokecha. And in that silence of the entire world came out the sound of Hashem speaking, and Hashem said to us, anokhi shemokecha, I am Hashem, your God. The first of the Aseres Dibros, first of the Ten Commandments. So the rabbis describe in this medrash the whole world going silent, everything sort of freezing, pausing at Har Sinai. And the medrash describes why is that. You know, there's a little bit of a lengthy description here, but I'll skip to the end. It says, Kadesha Yedu Habrios. So all of the creation should know, She'ein Chutz Mimenu, there's nothing other than God. So as Hashem spoke at Har Sinai, the whole world went silent. So we should recognize the only thing in the world that's significant is God, and there's no other than God. That's essentially the end of the Medrash. So I think there's a very profound message this Medrash is teaching us. And if we just maybe contemplate it a little bit, we'll understand that profound message and how relevant it is to us. A lot of what I'm saying is based on a piece from Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, the Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir, in his book, Sichos Musar. These were different. Musar talks he gave in the yeshiva, going back, you know, about 50 years ago now. He discusses this medrash in the context of other things, and he makes the following point, which I'd like to build on and show how relevant it is to us. We live in a world that's physical, that's material, and it's a world of distractions. And really, anything can deflect us and distract us from hearing God's voice. The Kol Hashem, the sound of Hashem, is subtle. It's constant. The sound of spirituality, the sound of faith, is something which is always in the world. It's always there, but yet we don't hear it. We don't hear it all the time. The Rav Chaim Shulevitz explains. He says, in order for us to hear the sound of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, that I am the Lord your God, Hashem speaking, we have to remove from us all the distractions of nature. You can't have the birds flying. You can't have the cows making their noises, or else we could not totally take into ourselves God's voice, God's sound. If the waves of the ocean were splashing, and even though the waves of the ocean are meant for us to perceive God, God's greatness through the waves of the ocean, it still would be a distraction from hearing God speak. Even the angels doing whatever angels do, even if they were making their noises at the time, it also distract us. because anything else in the world which is making noise, which is functioning, which is going about its regular process, that is something which will keep us from fully hearing God's voice. Therefore, Hashem silenced the entire world so that all we could hear is the sound of God. That's how he explains it. So at Har Sinai, all the distractions are removed. There's nothing else distracting us. The only thing we had in the world to focus on was to hear God speak, and we heard it clearly. There's a concept that the sound of God is constant. I mean, even to this very day, God is speaking. We don't hear it. Why don't we hear it? Because our ears are distracted. We can't discern the voice of God because there's so much other noise in our lives around us, which doesn't allow us to hear that spiritual call of God, which is there. So at Har Sinai, Hashem, we heard the full, unadulterated voice of God speaking out, and it was crystal clear, it was direct, it was unmistakably, God speaking and a clear message to us of faith in God, of emunah, and that only came through silencing everything else that was around. So in life, we have to understand, it says in the verse, "Am Hashem dvarcha nisa b'shemayim," that Hashem's word always remains up in heaven. It's there, the word is there, and we have to just know how to tune into the word and hear it. If we could tune in, so it's like you have a radio, it's on the wrong station, you're not going to hear it, you're not going to hear the music. So you have, if you have on your God radio tuner, and you tune into God, tune everything else out, you can hear God speak as well. You can hear that message. It's a fascinating thing. The primary call to faith for a Jew is Shema Yisrael, Shema Kino, Shem Echad. And begins with the word Shema Yisrael, hear, O Israel, hear Israel. Because the idea is that Emunah requires us to tune in. To hear, we could hear it. We could hear God speak as long as we tuned in. So at Har Sinai, we were able to tune in because all the distractions are removed from us. In life, we have trouble tuning in because the distractions are there, and therefore we can't tune in to the right station to hear that message from God. In the very early days of the COVID lockdowns, like back in the spring of 2020, so I was thinking a lot about this concept. I actually wrote an article about it. I'm not sure if I sent it out to everyone in the class. I don't remember, but I printed it out a few days ago and I was thinking about it. And I'm happy to send out another copy if anyone would like. This is going back 3 years now. But I found during that time, really, the world went silent. It really did. The streets were quiet. The stadiums were closed. The stock market was closed. Everything was closed. And there was a silence in the world. And there was a Gemara which came to mind. The Gemara says in Maseches Yuma, it says, if not for what it calls Kol Hamona Shoromi, which I would translate as the sounds of the crowds of Rome, it says we could hear the sound of the sun's cycle. Omale Kol Hamona Shoromi, if not for the sounds of the crowds of Rome, one could hear the sound of the sun's cycle. So what's that describing? It's a kind of a puzzling Gemara. There's a noise called the Kol Hamona Shoromi, the noise of the crowds of Rome. And then there's the noise of the sun cycle, and they seem to cancel one another out. Because of the sounds of Rome, we can't hear the sun. So essentially, the way the commentators explain this puzzling Gemara is the following. The sounds of the crowds of Rome really refers to hustle and bustle of daily life. Rome, in the terms of the rabbis of the Gemara, was kind of like the paradigm of a society functioning focused on physical material gains. It was sort of like the highest society materialistically, which there was. It was a society focused on material gain and physical accomplishment, and that's how the rabbis describe Rome. So that Kol Hamona Shoromi, the sounds, the crowds of Rome, and the Gemara refers really to just daily life out there, the daily physical mundane life. People going to work, cars driving, stadiums, crowds roaring, busy malls, everything out there that we look at as daily mundane life. Those are the sounds of the crowds of Rome going about the hustle bustle of existence. What it means when it describes the cycle of the sun. So commentaries explain that the cycle of the sun is meant to be a reference to Abraham gained faith in God. Because essentially, if we look at Abraham's journey, where did he first discover God? The whole world was idolatrous. They were pagans. Abraham was the first one to discover Hashem, to be monotheistic. Now, how did that come about? So it's described in many different ways, but the typical description is basically that Abraham looked at the sun and the stars and the moon and said, look at this vast universe. Like, who's running this thing? Like, who's making it tick? Who's making things, you know, cycle? How do we know why do we see the sun rising and setting every single day? Why do we see the stars, you know, moving around? And through those questions, Avram came to the realization there's one God who's running it all. That's simplifying the story. But the sound of the sun's cycle was really what drew Avraham in to believing in God. So if we were to reword this Gemara into more, I guess, down-to-earth or practical terminology, it would say, if not for the sounds of the hustle and bustle of daily life, we could also tune into God like Avraham did. That's how I would put it. If not for the sounds of the crowds of Rome, we could hear the cycle of the sun. We'd be able to tune in to the sun's, you know, to the one who's behind moving the sun, one who's behind moving the world. Yeah.
Hashem was the one who put that in because he told Adam that now you're cursed, you're going to have to work for a living. He created the hustle and bustle.
Correct.
So why would he put that obstruction in so we're not in tune with it?
So it's part of the concealment. Meaning when Adam sins, so Hashem said, well, I'm going to be concealed now in ways I wasn't concealed before. And that concealment is the world has so many other things which draw us in. When it says you have to work for a living, so that was a punishment, but that conceals God because now we're focused on our own personal advancement at that point. So this Gemara is a very profound point because it's teaching us the same concept we're describing. When the noise of life, which is out there, distracts us from hearing the message. And if we could tune out that noise, we could be like Avraham and hear the message from the world. We mentioned last week that Avraham had to learn Torah from intuition. He didn't have the Torah, but he was able to infer it from the world around him. And that was because Avraham was so in tune with spirituality, he could do that. But how is he in tune with that? Because he's able to cancel out the rest of the noise. When the noise is there and it's distracting us and it's sort of pushing us off, so therefore we're not in tune in the same way with God. The Chazon Ish, in his work called Emunah U'Bitachon, Faith and Trust is what we call it. So it's a very poetic work. The Hebrew is very poetic, and I don't know if there's a translation out of it, but I'm sure it's also poetic as well. It's not an easy read. But he describes very beautifully in the very beginning of the book, he describes how one comes to Emunah, or in a bigger sense, you know, how the world should overwhelm us with its puzzles and cause us to move towards God. And in short, I'll just paraphrase, he says that Emunah is really a very subtle sensitivity of the soul. And he writes that one who is sensitive spiritually and alert to the world around and to the needs of the soul and has a quiet moment when you're not overtaken by the lusts and desires of the material world, so then you can sense there's something greater out there. But he writes, it's only if you have a quiet moment where you are not overtaken by desires and lusts of this world, so then you become sort of overwhelmed by the vast greatness of this world and bring yourself towards God. That's Chaznish writes. But he also stresses this point that it has to be that you have a quiet moment where you're not distracted by everything else. Only then are you drawn towards God and you're overwhelmed by the vast, you know, greatness of this world. So really the call to faith begins, like we said, Shema Yisrael, you have to listen. But we don't always listen because we're so distracted. If you're able to cancel out all the distractions, you'd be able to hear God, just like at Har Sinai, when God made the world go silent. And that's where we could hear his voice speaking loud and clear. But without that, you know, there would be distractions and the message would not come to us in the same, you know, powerful, unadulterated, you know, clear way as it came in Har Sinai. We'll call it a medrash, a famous medrash called Pirkei Shira. Pirkei Shira is basically a compilation of the different praises that the world and the animals sing about God. So for example, if you pick up Pirkei Shira, it'll say, what is the song of the dog? And it says the dog's song is Bo Nishtach V'Nichra, come and bow down before Hashem. It says, you know, what's the song of the elephants? It says, my God, Masech Hashem, you know, how great are your deeds, Hashem? You know, how large, because elephant's the largest animal. Talks about what's the praise of the ocean that gives? What's the praise of the mountains give? What's the praise that the, you know, it goes through all sorts of, you know, natural bodies, and it goes through animals. It talks about what is the praise these things sing to God. Now, what that medrash means, we don't take it literally. We don't think the elephant's sitting there singing God's praises every day. And we don't picture the frog sitting there singing God's praises either. But what it means in a practical sense is that when we look at these animals, the message we should get should bring us to the praise of God. Meaning if you look at the animal in the right way, so then you will then be brought to praise God because you see God's greatness through the beauty or the complexity or the wisdom in that animal. So the idea being that if we know how to look at the world is singing God's praises constantly. You look at a mountain, you know, God's praises are being sung to you from that mountain. The problem is when life distracts you, so then you don't hear that, you don't hear that song, you don't hear the praise. Hearing it meaning that you don't even perceive the greatness because you're distracted by other things. When you look at a dog or a frog or a whale or an elephant or whatever other animals are listed that we see, so that should bring us to praising God because look, God's greatness is being expressed through this animal or through this natural body. But it's because we're so distracted that we don't see it and we don't hear it. But all of us have had the experience of going into, let's say, a beautiful area of nature when we're not distracted and we take it in, we are overwhelmed by the beauty and hopefully it brings us into a greater faith in God because of it. The Rav Yochum Levavitz, the Mashkiach of the Mir Yeshiva, we spoke about him last week in pre-war Europe. So it's written about him. He went once to the zoo. I'm not sure what kind of zoos they had in Poland in those days. He went to the zoo. And he said that his davening was improved the rest of his life because of his one zoo trip. Because he was so strengthened in his faith in God by seeing the beauty and the complexity of these animals. It changed his whole life, and he was able to daven differently because of it. So we've all been to the zoo, and I don't think it's really changed the way that we daven and we connect to God because we don't hear the message which is there, because we're not tuned in. We're not tuned in to the songs which are being sung by all these animals. We're not tuned in to the beauty of God which is being expressed to these animals. So we miss that. But if we were able to tune into those things, so it would uplift us and change us as well. It's because the distractions which are there don't allow us to tune in. I remember I heard a few years ago like a commercial on the radio. I think it was a commercial for like the Park Service or something. It was about national parks, Park Service. But basically, it was a kid and he was describing to his friend. He said, "You know, I got this new app where you're like a person. You can like move him around. He walks down to a stream. He can catch frogs. He can go fishing and he can chop down a tree." Another kid was like, "Well, I don't need the app. I went and did it myself. I actually went to a stream and I cut down the tree and I caught the frog." And and the idea is we get so distracted by life around us. You know, we don't appreciate the beauty of nature, which is there because we're distracted with other things. So I always thought that, I thought it was a cute ad. But we miss the call of nature. I mean, we miss the beauty and the song of the animals that Pirkei Shira describes because of the distractions, like because we're so busy, because there's so much hustle and bustle in life, we miss it all. So we all live in the modern world, I think especially, we live a life of distractions and there's always things happening and we're all busy. There's all sorts of things. There's always things to do, things to see, things to listen to, things to turn on. There's always something to do. We can never just kind of be alone with ourselves and our thoughts and with God and with the world and just sort of like take it in. And when we are alone, we want to grab something to do. And then we'll put something on to listen to. With technology, then you can never be alone because you can always be distracted. You can always distract yourself. And it's a challenge sometimes not to distract ourselves and to just being having that solitude sometimes is a very positive thing to be with yourself and be with Hashem and to hear the message. Now, one opportunity we have to do that is Shabbos. The Rav Shimshon Pinkus, he wrote a sefer called Shabbos Malkasa about Shabbos. And he actually cites this medrash we quoted in his introduction. The medrash we quoted about the world going silent at Har Sinai. So he speaks about that in the context of Shabbos. And he says, you know, the Jews, when they were standing in Har Sinai, Hashem had the world go silent. Like we said, the birds didn't chirp and didn't fly and the cows didn't make noises. Everything went silent. And Rav Pinkus describes here, he says, it wasn't, the idea wasn't the whole world went silent so that Hashem could speak. It's the other way around. It's because the world was silent, that's why we heard Hashem. Same concept. Hashem is always speaking. Hashem's message is there, but because of the distractions, we don't hear it. Because the world went silent, that's why we could hear Hashem. And he says that's exactly what Shabbos is for. Shabbos is a day where the world is supposed to go silent around us, you know, in its own way, and we are able to hear the truth of God through Shabbos. The word Shabbos itself means sort of like to stop, to cease and desist. No, cease and desist. I mean, it's shoves, is to refrain, to hold back. And one concept is not just that we hold back from work, but on Shabbos, we're supposed to kind of view the world as everything is done. You know, the world is going quiet for the day. And what it allows us to do, it allows us to connect with God in a much deeper way, because all those distractions are tuned out. And it's an amazing thing, because you know, the rules of Shabbos are from the Torah, and they're put into the Torah. You know, we're going back, you know, 3,600 years ago or so, over 3,000 years ago. And yet, those rules, as they constantly are applying to new technologies in life, still keep Shabbos a day where we were, you know, where we have this silence, we have this serenity. I was commenting to my wife the other day, you know, like the rules of Shabbos regarding electronics. So there are no electronics in the days where these rules were first given to us by Hashem. Hashem obviously first saw the future and knew what the technology would be. But imagine if Hilchos Shabbos did not prohibit modern technology. Let's say you could use your computer or your phone on Shabbos. We wouldn't have Shabbos anymore, because we would have all distractions would just be right in front of us. So the halacha, which was around a long time before technology as we have nowadays is around, even was able to encompass that, which allows Shabbos to still maintain that sense of the world going silent around us and having and being that day of rest, which is an amazing thing. But Shabbos, its essence is a day where the world is shavas, is quieted. It, you know, it desists, it sets back from its regular, you know, busy hustle and bustle. And that allows us then to connect to God through Shabbos. So Shabbos is really an opportunity for us, which in some ways mirrors what happened to Har Sinai, you know, in a much smaller sense, but to allow the world to go quiet and allow us to then hear God's voice and speaking through. And that's kind of Shabbos. So at Har Sinai, when the Jews stood by the mountain, this was what occurred. There was a silence in the world. And this silence was what allowed us to hear the voice of God. So we always wonder, like, what is our goal on a Yom Tov? You know, Shavuos is around the corner. What's our goal? Now, there's a fascinating comment from the Sefer HaChinuch. You know, he wonders a question which we probably didn't think of so much, but it's an obvious question. We know on Shabbos we don't do work because it says God worked for 6 days and made the world and rested on the seventh. So on Shabbos we stop from working. Well, why is there a concept not to work on Yom Tov? It's the concept of God working during the week and resting on Shabbos doesn't apply on Yom Tov. That applies on Shabbos. So why is it that we prohibit work on Yom Tov? So the Sefer HaChinuch says it's very simple. Because if you could work on Yom Tov, so then you wouldn't think about the concepts of Yom Tov. Hashem says, don't work on Yom Tov so that you have time to focus on the meaning of the day. And that's why there is a prohibition of malacha on Yom Tov, so that you can actually have time to focus on what Yom Tov is all about. So when you approach Yom Tov, number one, that's about tuning out everything else so you can focus on the message. But number two, the question always is, so then what is that message? So obviously every Yom Tov has many messages. But one message I think we have on Shavuos is we're supposed to work at tuning everything else out and hearing the voice of God. We understand a Yom Tov means that God is, we are sort of replaying what occurred at the actual event, you know, several thousand years ago. So 3,000 years ago, Hashem spoke at Har Sinai, and that event sort of replays itself yearly. So then we have to envision ourselves that we are standing there at Mount Sinai, and we're ready to hear God. But how do we hear God? What do we do? So one key to that, as we're describing, is tune out everything else and work on just focusing on hearing the voice of God. Listen to that Kol Hashem. And as we described, that the voice of God, it's everywhere. It's pervasive. It's all over the place. You know, God's always speaking. The problem is we lack hearing it because of everything else in life. If we were able just to focus in and hear that voice of God, things would be very different. So going back to what I wrote about the COVID lockdowns, looking back from my book a few years ago, there is a pasuk in Sefer Melachim, in the book of Kings, and it's discussing Hashem revealing himself to Eliyahu HaNavi. So Eliyahu HaNavi is supposed to go stand on the mountain before Hashem, it says, and it says Hashem was passing by. So I believe that the rabbis say this mountain was actually Mount Sinai. Eliyahu HaNavi was standing at Mount Sinai, and Hashem was going to pass by and reveal himself to Eliyahu HaNavi. So it says he stood there, and it says Ruach Gedola, a very, very great and mighty wind came by that could break through mountains and break rocks. And then he said, no, Hashem is not in the wind. So there was this loud, booming wind which came, and Hashem wasn't found in the wind. And then it says there was this ear splitting like thunder, which shook up the area. And it says Lo Barash Hashem, Hashem's not in the thunder. And then after the rash, after that sound came a fire, and Hashem wasn't in the fire. And then finally at the very end comes what's called a kol demama daka, a very, very soft, faint, murmuring sound. And the presence of Hashem was being revealed through that very soft sound. So this is viewed as sort of like a model. You don't find Hashem in the big, flashes and all in the thunder and lightning. You find Hashem in the subtle places of the world. There's a subtle voice which is calling towards us. And you can only hear that kol demadaka, that soft whisper, when everything else is tuned out. If you're not tuned out for everything else, you're not going to hear that whisper. You can hear thunder even if you're busy. But a little whisper you don't hear unless everything else is quiet. And Hashem's presence comes through that whisper. It's the kol demadaka. So as long as we are hearing and we are involved in that kol hamona shel Romi, in the sound of the crowds of Rome, so then we're not going to perceive Hashem totally. But as long as we're able to tune that out, then we can tune ourselves into that kol demadaka, that very, very faint sound. And through that, we can connect with Hashem. And again, that's what we say, Shema Yisrael. The faith in Hashem, our declaration of faith requires Shema Yisrael. Listen, Yisrael. First thing you do is listen. If you listen carefully, you're going to hear it. On the flip side, that same Gemara we quoted, it says, "And because of the sound of the cycles of the sun, if not for the sounds of the cycles of the sun, we would then hear the sounds of the crowds of Rome." It flips it around as well, which means it goes both ways. If you're in tune with the sound of God, so then the distractions aren't going to bother you. I mean, once you get yourself in tune with God, then all those distractions aren't going to pull you away, because you're hearing this. Sometimes, there's a sound that we have trouble hearing. Once you hear it, you can't get it out of your ears. Once you pick up on it, the ringing is, it keeps on going. So, we were distracted and couldn't hear the sound. But once you hear the sound, so that will then keep you focused, and the other sounds aren't going to bother you necessarily. That's the flip side of the Gemara. So that's our lesson for Shavuos. Our lesson for Shavuos is, the goal of Shavuos is to listen to God speak. We hear the sounds of God. Now, we don't mean prophecy. None of us are prophets. What we mean, there's a call to us that Hashem has in the world. It's the call of the beauty of nature. It's the call of the beauty of the animals. It's the call to rise above the petty concerns and petty arguments and connect with the higher purpose. That call is always there. If we can tune out everything else, we can hear that call, and that can help us elevate ourselves. If we remain distracted with everything else, so then that we don't hear that call. But she was an opportunity to really turn everything. It's just like Hashem turned everything off in our Sinai originally and made the world silent so we could hear him. So the opportunity is there for us. If we're able to enter into Shavuos and try to tune everything else out and just focus on the beauty of the Yom Tov, the voice of God, which called out to us in Har Sinai, the gift of the Torah, trying to live a little bit above our world. So then that's something which will really, I think, enrich our Shavuos and carry us forward. I want to share one other point. It's been back to last week. I forgot to mention it. Last week, this is a separate topic, but I wanted to share it. Last week we mentioned that one benefit of Maamar Har Sinai was the ability to live kind of above our world on a different plane and be able to withstand challenges that come in Torah observance. So we mentioned last week examples of somebody whose house is burning down on Shabbos, how they shouldn't put out the fire if it's in the danger of human life, and now they have to step back and now people have done that without feeling anxious about it because they know Shabbos is more important. So we mentioned that last week. My daughters told me that at the Yeshiva Girl Shabbaton 2 weeks ago, a very similar story occurred. As we spoke about this occurred to somebody there 2 weeks ago. I'll tell you what happened. It was a very powerful story. They were having like a panel discussion with the girls on Shabbos, and all teachers were up there on the panel discussing whatever topic they were discussing. And one of the teachers noticed that her wedding ring was missing from her finger. And she realized she had left it on the table they were eating the Shabbos meal, and the tablecloths were already cleaned up into the garbage. So she didn't want to panic in the middle of this speech. So she waited till afterwards, and she finds out that the garbage bags are already thrown into the dumpster. So she said, "It's Shabbos. I'm not sure what I can do about it." So she asked Rabbi Reingold, who was there, what's the proper thing to do? And he said that, it's muktzah. You're not allowed to go through the garbage right now, but you could ask one of the non-Jewish workers to take out the bags and put them aside for you for after Shabbos. So most people will be panicking at this point. Both the sentimental and financial value of this ring is, obviously a very significant thing. And it's somewhere in a huge dumpster full of, dozens of garbage bags. And but again, this teacher asked very calmly at Shabbos, let me ask the question, what's allowed, what's not allowed, and you know, and I'll do what's right, which already is really our point, that this is something that many people would feel like is how you know, I need my wedding ring, you know, but she was able to hold back and do it, you know, calmly, and you know, go through the halacha properly. So that to me, that was already the story, which highlights the point we made last week. Now, what happened to the story? So she asked one of the non-Jewish workers to come out through the guard to the dumpster and explain the situation. So this non-Jewish cleaning lady, she said, I'm not just going to take it out for you. I'm going to start going through the bags for you. She was so nice. And she actually started going through all the garbage bags herself. She took them out of the dumpster and she started sorting through the bags. And it was 10 bags in. She found the bag that was from this teacher's table and they found the ring in there.
Oh,
which, yeah, so Baruch Hashem, the ring was found. But to me, that was a story very similar to what we described, being able to realize the Torah has certain, you know, prohibitions upon us. And this is a challenge, I'm sure, but very challenging for the teacher. But to be able to go about it with such, you know, just being calm, ask the Shaila, do the right thing. That is a way to live above this world and not be drawn in to the typical urges and desires of our world. And that was something that was given to us at Har Sinai, as we described last week. So I just wanted to share that story because it fits into our discussion last week. And it really happened, you know, 2 weeks ago, right here in Silver Spring, a very similar story. Okay, so everyone should have a wonderful Shavuos. Any questions? You guys questions now? And again, this will be our final class until the fall. And okay, you have a question. Yeah.
Because to me, I find
Shavuos
is But you did say this ultimately. So Hashem made everything quiet, the bubbling brooks and the animals and the birds, and everything was quiet so we could hear his sound. But we also find him through nature. We go to nature, we sort of like feel his presence that way. You did mention it at the end. So
right.
It seems to be this like a little bit opposite, but also you also mentioned about them seeing the shira of the animals, like their shira. And if we're quiet, we can hear that. But I thought you meant when you go see the animals, I thought it was going in a different direction, but it was not. That, I forgot whoever it was that said about the animals, you go in and you see the beauty, like you're going into a zoo and you see a tiger and you see, it's like amazing to come to Hashem through nature also. So I right. don't know how, like silencing it or embracing it, I'm not sure.
So I would say there's levels of the intensity and clarity of the message. I mean, at Har Sinai, that was the most direct, intense, clear communication from Hashem, and nothing of the physical world should get in the way of that. But in our daily lives, so how do we discover God? So if we could tune everything else down, just focus on that tiger, we'll see God through the tiger. But if we're distracted, then we won't see God through the tiger either. So I think you're right, and I understand why it seems to be somewhat of a contradiction. But it's levels of intensity of that revelation. So we don't have God speaking to us with prophecy every day. But we have to look at nature and find God there. But how come we don't? The answer is because we're distracted and we don't focus on it.